Hello there. We're Vincent Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul, Rand McNally.
We've recently released our family's first almanac in over 50 years, and now we're setting out on a new journey.
Using Rand's old travel journal as our guide, we're visiting his 20 all-time favorite towns.
We'll be counting down the greats as given by our great-great-grandfather and want you, the listener, to come along for the ride.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Welcome again, listeners, to another episode of These Parts. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, and with me, as he is every week, is my brother, my friend, my traveling companion, Vince McNally. Vince, I'm excited about this town this week because it is near and dear to both our great-great-grandfather's hearts and our hearts.
It really is. Some with a critical eye for criticism. You know how they say everyone's a critic.
They do say that.
They say it and they mean it. They would say that this is a little on the nose.
It is, but I think it's a testament to our great-great-grandfather's influence on the world and on us. I think it's fair to say that we are somewhat of podcast icons, wouldn't you say, Vince?
Yeah, I think, if anything, that's not going far enough. I don't know what is above icon.
I don't know what's above icon either, but I think we are at that status. I'm sure all our listeners know the influence we've had on different radio programs and podcasts over the years. True fans of the show will know that early on in the These Parts days, I would start every show with sort of a rant. And after these rants got a little too focused on my tumultuous relationship with Lorne Michaels, we decided to retool the show. But that influenced Mark Maron to start his show that way. And I think that there's myriad examples of this throughout podcasting history.
I mean, just in our own lives, even recently, the very well-respected comedy/inside media program, How Did This Get Made, they dedicate an episode every single week to us.
That's true.
Continuously, ongoingly baffled about how our program gets produced.
But just like we have influence on all these podcasts, we take influence from, yeah, you guessed it, our great-great-grandfather Rand's radio show, broadcast originally from the town we're in today, a town, Vince, that I think we should put on the map.
I think so too, Elliot. Go ahead and foist. I think we've agreed upon foisting.
We have agreed upon foist. We have not agreed upon the name yet.
Foist the map. We're going with a very minimalist design today.
Yes.
Foist the map upon your wall and take out your medallion that corresponds with Blumenthal, Colorado.
This is, of course, if you're keeping score at home, which you very well should be, Rand's 14th all-time favorite town, Blumenthal, Colorado, was home to the very first broadcast radio program from Blumenthal Murphy. And today it stands as a somewhat of a mecca of podcast recording. Rand had his own radio show named after his journal, The Windings and Findings of the Great Rand McNally. It was broadcast in all 18 states at the time because Colorado wasn't even a state. He just came out here to start his own radio show. And with us today is someone who carries on that tradition. He's a podcast host in the town. Would you care to introduce yourself?
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Hi, this is Buck Willoughby. Happy to be here talking to all you listeners out there on the internet. How are you doing today?
Buck Willoughby, thank you so much for joining us. You are such a soft talker. I just want to compliment you on that.
Oh, thank you. You know, I started working the 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. shift back at the radio station. I eventually worked my way up to the early morning 6 a.m. crowd. So you don't want to be too abrasive. You want to keep it nice and light, soft.
You don't want to be jarring people awake in the morning.
No, sometimes I'll actually start at a light whisper and raise my temper ever so slightly by the second.
Are Vince and I talking too loud for you right now?
Oh, I can listen to any level, but it's the good people out there in Blumenthal that sometimes just needs a nice gentle nudge to get them to work in the morning.
Beautiful. Honestly, I'm going to try to resist the urge to whisper myself. I'm just so calmed. I'm calmed by you, Buck. My question to you, you mentioned that you cut your teeth in the radio world. That's true of many podcasters, but now you've ventured over into the more free-form podcast-verse, where you can speak at any time, or people might listen to your program in the middle of the day. So how has that affected your craft? And if you would, tell us the name of your podcast.
Well, that's the fun thing, is that when people listen at any time, you feel free to create lots of different types of media. So I currently have 8 different podcasts that I produce in the week.
Wow. I mean, Vince and I struggle to produce one podcast. I can't imagine the workload.
Produce is a pretty liberal use of the term, actually.
Because I do everything, yeah.
First, I have to give a big shout out to my producer and partner, Mary Willoughby. She listens and records everything I do. She's recording this back. She's a, hey, Mary. She's just in the corner recording.
Because you're going to have a little sneak preview of this episode in one of your podcasts that will be released later today. Well,
specifically, the third podcast I started doing was called Behind the Scenes with Buck Willoughby. And so that one is one we started recording from the second that I walked in. She actually showed up a little early. You went through your morning routine.
Yes.
And she...
How did we not notice this, Elliot?
I don't know. The RV is pretty small. There are a lot of people in
there. Yeah, we need a better security system, frankly.
I like to say that if Mary moonlighted as anything else, it would be a cat burglar. She is very subtle and very quiet.
Everyone give a hello to Mary. Mary, hello. You're very quiet.
And, Buck, there are people on the other side of RV that were recording Mary recording you. Can you talk about this whole crew over here?
Actually, the seventh podcast that I started producing is called Existentialism. And so we just try to get to the root of what makes anything anything. So they started following Mary around when she follows me around. And they'll just periodically ask her a question like, what is blue? Have you thought about that before?
I never really have thought about it.
Just
I know that in some cultures they don't even have the word blue because they can't describe it. So I think that could launch into this is a 9-hour long per episode podcast. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Though if you use one of the time enhancers, you can get that done in 7.5 easy.
There's time enhancers.
Oh, yeah.
Does this mean, time enhancers?
Oh, it speeds up the tempo of the podcast.
Instead
of like a fast forward button of sorts.
Well, yeah, it's so you can listen to you can listen to my second podcast that I created called Blumenthal's Busiest Bucks, where I talk to other people named Buck in Blumenthal.
Wow.
How big of a cross section are we looking at?
You just got to grab that good old Dex Yellow Pages, and you can find all 3 of the Bucks in town.
Wow.
We've capped out at episode 3, but I'm always recruiting, seeing if we can find more Bucks to move into town.
You did bring some name change papers that you were requesting Vince and I to fill out.
I'm always ready.
It's a kind offer.
It's a one-stop shop, because with the 5th podcast I ever produced, Notable Notaries, I actually became a notary because I feel like it's my responsibility as a journalist to know the process. So I am still a notary public, and I can take care of all the paperwork right here.
That's great. Vince, I mean, if we want to be Buck and Buck McNally, I think we could help out Buck Willoughby. So I think we should discuss this maybe offline.
Yeah, I think offline is the right place for it. Buck, before we move on, I just want to tackle a cool bit of trivia I've heard about you. Is it true that you can listen to up to 3 podcasts at the same time and understand all of the words that are being said, much like Lieutenant Data in Star Trek The Next Generation listens to music?
Absolutely. I'm actually listening to the most recent episode of Fresh Air. I find it calming. Sometimes I can get a little wound up.
It seems like it.
but there's something about Terry Gross's voice that just centers me. She's like my Buddha.
She's a Buddha to many.
A lot of people would agree that Rand is a Buddha of sorts to Blumenthal. And this entire essence of what we're talking about, podcasting, radio, couldn't have started without the titular Blumenthal Murphy. Buck Willoughby, can you stick a medallion into our map, which is still to be named, right in the center of Blumenthal, Colorado?
There we go.
You've ever so slightly placed it in. It's teetering in the die cut frame because it's so gently placed there.
That's because that's how God placed Blumenthal upon the map.
And upon our ears. I think we should delve into this a little bit more, Vince. What do you say?
I agree, Elliot, in a segment we call Local Legends.
Now, guys, I want to clear something up about local legends. Whenever we do a segment that is a local legend who is from a town that was named after him or her, people give us flack. They say, why aren't you doing hall monikers? It's all about town naming.
There's a rabid contingency of these parts fans who demand more hall monikers mentions.
Yeah.
They also demand fewer at long lap mentions.
Yeah, there's kind of a schism that or a rift that is in our different podcast listenership. These hall moniker people, though, are always wanting hall monikers. But let me just say, hall monikers is for a town whose name is eccentric, and we have to explain. Obviously, Blumenthal, Colorado is named after Blumenthal Murphy. There's no explanation. That's why we do local legends. So if you guys could kindly step down out of my and Vince's assholes about this, we would appreciate it.
And while you're at it, go ahead and shut the fuck up.
Yes. So I think now that we have that taken care of, local legends, of course, is about a local legend, someone of particular influence in the town. We're talking today about Blumenthal Murphy, sort of the Garrison Keillor of his day, the first ever broadcast radio program, program, because they said it probed your ears. It was so amazing to listen to. They later changed the vernacular program. Buck Willoughby, can you talk to us about Blumenthal Murphy?
I mean, how does one begin to talk about a modern deity?
I would say you start very, very quiet, and then maybe you raise the decibel slightly as you get to the higher and more exciting points of the story. You get quieter at the more dramatic parts, and then you raise again.
Somebody has been listening to Windfind. That's what we call it here. I'd like to give a quick shout-out to the current host of Windfind, Mark Frankum. He had very large shoes to fill upon the passing of Blumenthal Murphy all those years ago. A little bit more modern than the old recordings, but very good. And this is probably a great time to point out that I have my sixth podcast that I produce. I actually will sit down with Mark and we'll listen to the Golden Age episodes of Windfind, and we'll critique them and we'll give them notes.
Interesting.
Coincidentally, I never have any notes because they're perfect. So essentially, we just listen to an episode.
And you're listening to the episode on air while talking about it, so there's upwards of four people simultaneously talking, all in whispers.
Mostly whispers, yeah. Mark sometimes can be a little bit louder, but with a separate mic, we can just turn that down a little bit, you know, just kind of turn it down.
But you are the more gregarious of the two hosts, I would say.
You're trying to butter me up.
I am.
This isn't Mrs. Fields. Blumenthal was a very specific man with a very specific idea. And what people don't realize is that the first probe casts he did that were on street corners. He didn't have an official audience, but he knew that when he told his tales, when he told his stories, the people would follow. What once started as just a few walker-bys ignoring or yelling for him to go home soon became 10 people sitting in lawn chairs, just engrossed. And suddenly they started recording him freeform on paper and would pass that around town. They realized that it wasn't very efficient. Someone introduced the idea of a ham radio to town. And that began his first official radio show.
If I could interject, I love reading these little trivia bits about history. Listeners, you might think ham radio is the shortwave CB-type broadcast mechanism, but originally, ham radio was like potato light bulb. in that you would stick the wires into the food and use the molecular energy to create a small burst of electricity. Mm-hmm. So when you say ham radio, you're referring to these big ham hocks with speakers attached to them.
Absolutely.
The shape of the ham obviously mimics that of a phonograph.
Yes, it mm-hmm. magnifies the signal, mm-hmm. And it allows it to be passed to another ham somewhere else within usually about a 30-foot radius.
Now, were these hams basted for, you know, different podcasts? How could you tell them apart?
There's a lot of studies done at Blumenthal Community College to try and determine the best kind of ham to use, whether it's a honey glaze, if you're doing more of kind of a Asian fusion.
Asian fusion ham, very popular in the turn of the American century.
It's very big. But what we found is just a simple water, salt, and cinnamon brine overnight before the show is just what you need. That's all.
I'm sort of like lulled into a dreamlike state. The mixture of history and soft talking, that's my preferred lullaby.
You are caressing a ham right now, Vince, like a pillow.
Yeah, but that's not really attached to the segment. I do that with some frequency.
Just to irritate me, yeah. The meat eating kind of gets to me. But I completely agree, Vince. Buck, you have a way of storytelling about you. I think from listening to the old ham radio programs of Blumenthal Murphy, there's a familiarity, I think, in everything I listen to. And there was a familiarity in Rand's podcast as well. Of course, Rand, you could say, influenced Blumenthal Murphy, and then Blumenthal got the credit of having the first widely broadcast radio program. But they did work together a lot. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, and people don't realize is that they were, while they didn't obviously live near each other, Rand was a big traveler.
Yes.
But they kept a very detailed correspondence with each other. Some might call them pen pals. I like to say that they were writing friends.
I think that's a little more eloquent way of putting it, actually.
I think it's a little bit more. Pal suggests more of an acquaintanceship, but they were close. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, for my fourth produced podcast, we read the letters that they sent back and forth.
Wow.
I actually brought a little clip, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's great.
Absolutely. We love sharing media on this podcast.
I'll just press play on that in a second.
You can really hear the ham crackling when it's starting up. It's fantastic.
Such a warm sound.
Yeah. And so this is you and your partner reading the correspondence between Rand and Blumenthal. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wow. All right. Let's listen.
It's so quiet.
Virginia. That's the first vacation I've taken in many years, and it was a top 10, if I say so myself. Until our paths cross again. Blumenthal.
Man. That is... It's so tantalizing to listen to. I want to listen to what the other top 10 are. I hope our listeners feel the same way about this podcast, Vince.
Ooh, I hope so too. That is some fall off the bone tenderness coming across the airwaves.
There were quite a few rumors that they may have had something of a love tryst.
We know our great-great-grandfather to be a very open-minded and open-hearted man, taking many lovers across the great United States as he traveled. This would be the first high-profile male lover, though, that
it's true.
We've ever had heard ruminations about.
Their back and forth were always that length, that short. Mm-hmm. So you have to read very deeply into them, but there's well over 100 correspondence back and forth between the two of them. Wow. We usually read about 10 per episode, and we're still finding more and more.
That podcast, of course, is called Love Blooms, the story of Blumenthal Murphy and Rand McNally. I do want to point out that because of these time enhancers, you can listen to all of Buck's podcasts simultaneously, just like Data, Vince. At the same time, They are all recorded at different speeds so that they will mesh together, just like a fine dinner of ham basted with great spices.
I'm, again, see, I break into this whisper. It's a habitual, I'm sort of pulled into your gravity, Buck, as you speak. But speaking of gravity, and speaking of correspondence, actually, let's keep this love train rolling for Rand McNally, our great-great-grandfather, as we dive into a new segment just for this season called Random Thoughts.
Now, listeners, of course you are mourning the loss of Wouldn't You Like to Know, but...
But cut it out!
Yeah, stop it. Just like the people who love Hall monikers and hate Long Laugh, there are also the people that love Wouldn't You Like to Know. Please also kindly step out of my and Vince's assholes about this. We don't want to hear it anymore. Random Thoughts is the way of the future.
It's the way forward. If you can't get with it, get gone.
Get gone. But we do want you to stay here because we want the listenership. And hopefully you guys are really excited to hear what Rand had to say about Blumenthal, Colorado. Vince, can you kindly open the hyperbaric chamber, similar to the Declaration of Independence, that we keep Rand's journal in?
Yes, I'll need your key. It's a dual key system.
Yes, So, and this is just a security measure so Nicolas Cage doesn't steal it.
Right, and again, we'll have to speak the passcode to initiate it in unison.
Yes.
So you say your passcode, and I'll say mine on three. Ready?
Okay. One,
two, three.
Rand McNally. Open. Yep. It opened. The pressure is just amazing.
Now that's fresh.
Okay, I'm gonna pull this out, and this is town number 14, Blumenthal, Colorado. This is incredible, Vince and Buck. This is incredible. I'm sure listeners have seen the wax cylinders that people used to record audio on, similar to the hams of Blumenthal's day.
I don't know, listeners, have you?
Please,
listen. Answer at home like an educational PBS TV program.
Yeah, we have the phones going right now if you'd like to answer. Very rare. So this is a wax cylinder that was pounded flat into a page of Rand's travel journal. It seems like there's a little clip from one of Rand's old radio episodes on this wax flat piece of page that I think that we could listen to right now, Vince.
What a treat. We're really crossing the panopticon of listenable media today. And I'm glad that we could share with Buck a little recording of our own.
Let's play it.
Hey guys, you're listening to Rowdy Rand McNasty up in here with everyone's favorite co-host, The Beef. How's it going, Beef?
Yo, Rand, it's going great. This is Beef here.
Yeah, Beef Nation.
Yo, Beef.
We are here with our favorite guest, Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy, what's your favorite fart noise?
I like to call this one a Rough Rider.
Oh, now that's nasty.
Whoa, we got all that one.
Wow, not what I was expecting, guys.
Abrasive is the word that I would use. Blumenthal, as the Beef, was really, it was unsettling. Mm-hmm. He sounded like a much larger man than I anticipated. He's sort of a diminutive bookish type in the old photographs, but he sounded positively jowly.
He carried the weight of a 7'2 Andre the Giant type, but he was easily only 5'4.
Can you talk a little bit about Rand and his relationship in these early days of the Windings and Findings of the Great Rand McNally Show? Obviously, they were ahead of their time. And how did Blumenthal come up with this persona of the Beef?
Well,
because it was recorded on ham and...
It was.
Different honey-based products.
And so, the Beef character was actually just an amalgamation of his older brother, Jeffrey, and his great uncle, so his grandfather's brother. Mm. And his name was actually Beefuel. But they called him Beef for short, and as a bit of a homage, he made that character named the Beef simply because his grandfather passed away very young, and his great uncle Beefuel acted as almost as a surrogate grandparent.
And Beefuel was one of the first people to do one of those live transcribings of one of his radio shows, and he died doing that. So
penmanship was so clean and crisp that he actually went off of the wax once and hit an artery in his leg.
They call that the lost episode.
Not because they don't have it. You can listen to him screaming in agony.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But he was lost. Mm-hmm. Oh, you hear it when you read it off the page.
Yeah.
And there's just the faintest red splatter on the side.
He was devoted. He was devoted to his great grandnephew, mm-hmm. producing something he loved. And I think that translates to when he and Rand started their own show. Vince, what are your impressions on this show? I mean, hearing our great-great-grandfather's voice. I didn't realize he sounded just so much like a shock jock, but apparently he did.
Now, we've heard recordings of Rand in the past, he being a man of means and much travel. I have to imagine both for he and Blumenthal, this was an affectation. We know now, of course, even with our own guest today, it's a natural version of his voice, but it's an affectation on his voice, meant to elicit a particular reaction, be that the dulcet calming tones of education, or in Rand's case, it seemed like a much more, how to say, visceral
yes.
elicitation. It's jarring. You know, it's really jarring. You think of the past as a very solemn, a very proper time. But if you, I mean, this is proof. Teddy Roosevelt liked farts. And I think to know that a great man and a great patriot like Teddy Roosevelt enjoyed farts humanizes him. I mean, we all like farts.
We all do. And I think that's kind of the mission statement of the Windings and Findings of the Great Rand McNally, to bring these notable people on and talk about farts in a way that you might not have heard or thought about before.
You know, they might say fart, but you might think to yourself the plight of the common man. They might say, let one rip, and you might hear, we all have the same human experience.
And speaking of human experience, I think we should open one of our listener letters. Buck, would you mind reading this letter from a very great listener who decided to write in on a great town?
Absolutely. Let's take a look here. So this is from Mary P. She is from, oh, look at that, Champaign, Illinois. She writes,
I don't know why you looked at me and smiled at that. I've never been to Champaign.
You've never been to Champaign?
No.
You know it's the only place outside of France that can produce a bubbly white wine with the name.
Is that true?
It literally just has to be made in a place named Champaign.
Uh-huh.
But people assume it has to be
in the Champaign
France
region.
Got it.
Wow. I have to.
It's not just a university in Champaign, Illinois. Mary P. writes, hey, when are you guys going to bring back that? Oh, this is about that one segment you guys forgot.
Let's hear her out. Let's hear her out, Elliot.
We said to back the fuck off.
It got a little crude after that. This is the second one you had in the pile. It is from, this one is from Stephen W. in St. Paul, Oregon. And he writes, Blumenthal, isn't that the place where that cult existed?
A cryptic letter.
As you know, we've already been to a town that discussed Rand's vast cult history. But I think what this letter is referring to is the cult following of some of the lesser-known podcasts of Rand's day.
Yes and no. There is actually a small cult that started that is... it's called Murphism, and it is based off of the works of Blumenthal Murphy. When he basically founded Shock Jock podcasts, it lit a fire. And you remember I talked about how the first few people before the ham radios would line up in lawn chairs. Well, every summer, at the end of the summer, when they start selling the Fred Meyer lawn chairs at reduced prices, the people will gather in the parking lot and hold their yearly New Year's celebration. They think of it as a new dawn. They eat boiled hot dogs with wet cheese.
Wet cheese?
Yeah, I believe in other parts of the country they call it nacho cheese.
Mm, I like that name for it better, for sure.
It conjures an even more delicious taste than nacho cheese, I think. And I feel like we're all whispering at this point. And the level of vocal fry in our voices is becoming one, and I think that's beautiful.
It's magical. That's the sort of thing that you would hear off the page in their correspondence. But Murphism is real. It's currently at about 30 people. Wow. But there, I don't belong to Murphism, but I also have some applications if you want to join them.
Mm. And they are pre-notarized for us.
They're ready to go. They're hot off the press.
They're actually very hot.
Yeah, you did bring your press with you, which it's taking up a large portion of the RV.
It's a quesadilla press, I think. In the effort of full disclosure, the paper was an old paper, like normal paper, and then you've pressed it just to give it that nice, glossy, sort of slightly charred, old-timey finish.
With wet cheese.
Absolutely, and just a few faint grill marks.
The wet cheese acts like sealing wax, like an old sigil would be stamped into the bottom of the paper as a sign.
These grill marks remind me of how Rand and Blumenthal the Beef Murphy would grill their guests on their old show, and it's bringing a smile on my face, and I can see a very faint smile from your face as well, Buck.
Now it's gone. It was faint and fleeting.
You just silently nodded, and anyone that understands the audio medium of podcasting and radio understands that when you do physical gestures, they are very pointed. There are things that you have to say in order for people to hear you on radio, and there are things that you don't have to say, and I think you are a master of that. Again, a nod, a silent nod for all you listeners who are not as well-versed in radio recording as Buck or Vince or I. And Vince, speaking of that, I think we have a perfect segment to segue into.
Oh, I think so too, Elliot. It's called Giving Them the Business.
Now, listeners, Giving Them the Business is usually about the mom and pop shops of a town supporting the local economy. But this time, because there are so many podcasts produced, Buck, you have 7 yourself, and I'm sure you have 8. Did you just start one during the recording of this podcast?
Well, in addition to the Behind the Scenes podcast and the Existential podcast, we are, in fact, recording my 8th podcast right now. It's called Me Undies. Go ahead and take a second to talk about our sponsor for the podcast, Me Undies. Have you ever felt like your underwear doesn't fit? Have you tried Me Undies? Me Undies. Me Undies. And Me Undies podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Build a better website. It's easy. It's affordable. And anyone can do it. Squarespace, official sponsor of MeUndies podcast.
And you know, you want to look good when designing your Squarespace website, so check out Bonobos, the lead performer of men's fashion.
And you want to listen to something while you're wearing Bonobos and MeUndies, so check out Audible.
I feel like we're going into a spiral of sponsorship, but I think that is a great way to talk about podcasting here, because sponsors want to come here. They want to support the creative community. I think it's a great time to talk about some of the fun podcasts that people might not know about in town. Buck, aside from your own, obviously, is there one that you'd like to point listeners towards?
Absolutely. There's a lovely podcast that comes out only in October. It's called Hollow's Grave, and it'll tell a to-the-minute story about the murder of someone that happened on September 30th. This is true crime.
It's true crime.
So often what happens is on September 30th, people won't leave their house because someone will be murdered.
Sort of like The Purge.
It's very similar to The Purge, yes.
Interesting. And now the hosts have also been accused of murdering these people because they need more material for their show. So if it gets to about September 28th, 29th, nothing has happened, you really don't want to leave your house because they'll have nothing to report on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Though, one of the original hosts, Thomas Scott, was unfortunately murdered last year.
He was murdered by his co-host just so that they could keep the episodes coming.
That's the rumors. I believe you'll have to tune in October 1st to see if Hollow's grave gets full.
Because all the victims are in one mass grave.
It's a mass grave.
Yes. Wow. Well, that is...
unsettling.
It's very macabre. A podcast that I have been into recently, obviously Vince and I are traveling. We try to do all our own maintenance on our RV. But a podcast or a radio program like Click and Clack is a little too much for me. I'm not, you know, that mechanically inclined. There's a podcast here called Clork and Jork. And they're for people that don't know anything about cars. So their podcast is just naming different parts of cars. And I find that very helpful. So like the one episode was just all about the door handle, and I found that riveting.
I couldn't agree more, Elliot. You know, we've binged this one. We binged it back and forth, and we binged it back again. I think the episode about the antenna and the flantenna, those are my favorites. Back-to-back. It's a two-parter.
It was a two-parter, sponsored by MeUndies, who was sponsoring Squarespace, who was sponsoring Bonobos, who was sponsoring Audible at the time, I believe. And that was one of the reasons why we didn't get to the town that we were supposed to record that weekend.
That's right. That's right. We just parked and just listened. We entered sort of a trance.
Exactly. Vince, other than Clork and Jork, what podcast have you been putting your time into?
You know, I'm all about learning. I'm sort of a history buff. And so I like the podcast. It's called Snore. It is a take-up on lore. The difference is the stories they share are even more mundane, and the speaking style is even more stilted. Sometimes it will be minutes between the words that the host is saying, and it's sort of like a mental game to try to remember what his story is being told, because there's such huge gulfs in the speaking. And you also get a lot of bang for your buck, because you can listen to a second podcast in between the words. If you're quick on the pause button, a little hard while you're driving.
Sometimes an episode that's released is only him saying, the host saying one word, and then they release several episodes. I find that amazing. And of course, they're taking inspiration from lore and Aaron Mankey's almost Shatner-esque style of speaking. The host is a robot who is programmed to talk like Aaron Mankey, and you had a hand in this book.
We partnered with the community college in town, and they have a very robust robotics division. And so the development of the Shatnobot 2000, not to be confused with the Shatnobot 1000.
Now I have the schematic for the Shatnobot here. It says the voice box is a yak back re-engineered with Audible technology.
Sponsored by MeUndies.
And the chassis is one big MeUndie.
I think it's great that they are producing this robot to host a podcast. I don't understand why they gave it human emotions, the ability to feel pain, and the ability to murder, because that feeds directly into the Hollow's Grave podcast.
Whatever can keep this great podcast boom strong in town is something that we'll consider. And if that means developing AI, then I suppose AI is what we have to develop. I'm comfortable with the idea that my time on this world might be short, if that means that the great people of this country and, frankly, all over the world...
And Squarespace.
Through the easy and simple intuitives... tools of Squarespace, you can get your podcast heard in any number of countries that aren't North Korea and China.
Elliot, I'm overwhelmed with a little bit of nostalgia for one of our own sponsors. They have since left the program, but perhaps we could kick them a quick shout out just for old time's sake.
I believe you're talking about Map, the Map app, the app that's a map, Vince. They were our partners for a long time. Unfortunately, that was a partnership that our old producer Xander had, and they left when Xander decided to leave the show as well.
Exactly, and unfortunately for them, Xander also published via the Washington Post a locker, maybe a warehouse of incriminating legal and engineering documents that have since buried Map, the Map app, the app that's a map, in a mausoleum of litigation.
That's a very colorful way to put it, Vince. I do want to say that we used to point out a new featured feature of Map, the Map app, the app that's a map, when they would sponsor our show. What happened was, once the new iPhone came out that didn't have a button, it kind of ruined all their technology. They relied heavily on the home button of the iPhone for it to function. So when you download the app now, you can't click on anything.
No, you actually can't download it.
No.
Even the app icon is somehow not touch interfaced. So you in the store, you'd have to click the home button to get it. And you can't do that now.
But hey, if you are interested in interfaces and you want to design your own, I think Squarespace is a great option for people. Buck is nodding silently.
Keanu Reeves can do it. You can do it. Squarespace.
Well said.
Very well said.
With that little bit of nostalgia trivia out of the way, let's go to even fresher trivia, Elliot.
In a segment we call Did You Know?
Laying it out a little thick. Honestly, you might have overcorrected.
I think Rand was getting to my head, honestly.
I'm just glad you didn't channel the beef.
I think we're all glad for that, and I think we should be glad for this first Did You Know fact. Guys, did you know that because of all the podcasts in town, it has also sprung up a new economy, an economy of subscription box services? There are quite a few in town.
You know how much we love subscription box services, listeners, so this is exciting news. Buck, what are some of your favorites?
Well, it just so happens that I just started a ninth podcast called Trunk Club. That is sponsored by Menlo.
I do want to say, it seems like you've ransacked my and Vince's suitcases for this first trunk that you're putting together.
I shouldn't take credit for this. Mary, when she's not moonlighting as a producer or potentially a cat burglar, Mary.
I see her burgling our stuff right now.
She's actively burgling.
She's been listening to you two and developing your style. And that's what she's putting into the trunk she has outside. And she will deliver that to your doorstep when we leave.
So we're going to have to rebuy all of our clothes?
Well, it's not really buying. You pay a monthly fee. And you keep the things that you want.
Oh, so it's kind of like we're getting it for free then.
Kind of like it, but not really like it, since we already owned all these clothes, and now they're being sold back to us effectively.
But because it's curated, it seems like we're getting a better deal.
Actually, now that you mention it, and I'm reading the fine print, and then there's a 5% chance that one pair of me undies will be slipped into the trunks as they're returned, I'm sort of game.
I guess it depends what other clothes around town Mary's stealing to curate the boxes. You might get somebody else's.
There's no stealing involved.
Vince, do you have a subscription box that you like?
I do. I like Recursive Box. It's a box subscription service for boxes. Great for moving. Great for, hey, maybe you need to propose to your significant other and you don't have a little box for a ring. The boxes will usually contain boxes in them when you get them. So it's like boxes all the way down.
So it's good for moving if all of your items are almost Marushka-style sizes that fit into successively smaller boxes.
Of course, but then again, whose isn't?
I guess that's true. A box that I've really been into lately is called NeoBox. This is actually two different companies. One will send you a weekly subscription of neoprene, just the fabric for you to make anything out of.
My fingers were crossed for Neopets, so I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed.
You know, it's actually three different companies I forgot to mention. One will send you neoprene, one will send you a neoprene Neopet, and one sends you a weekly subscription of used DVD copies of The Matrix Reloaded. But you get to decide how many copies of this DVD you want, so it's pretty cool.
I would burn through those quite quickly. That is the best in the series.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, you've never seen the Burly Brawl.
No.
I think he was referring to the entire
fact. I've watched the Matrix series exhaustively, but I didn't know about the boxes.
Vince loves Keanu Reeves. And you know what else Keanu Reeves loves?
Squarespace.
That's true.
Make it yours. Squarespace. Sponsored by MeUndies.
Did you know, due to the sheer volume of radio waves being transmitted here in Blumenthal, a lot of things that are made of metal pick up ancillary broadcasts?
Oh, interesting. So does that mean that if we touch our RV in a certain way, we might have a podcast broadcast through us, Vince?
Yeah, absolutely. We, of course, have the sound dampening insulation, that's the word I'm looking for.
You clearly have to listen to Clark and Short more.
We have that sound dampening insulation that middle school music halls and recording bunkers have. And so that prevents most of the interference coming through. But maybe you've heard old-timey stories about how a person's pots and pans might pick up a Reds game, or a person's fillings could pick up news broadcasts about landing on Omaha Beach. These are sort of Americana tales from yore, but here in Blumenthal, it is very much still the case.
But walking around town, it must be like a panoply of podcasts and radios broadcast simultaneously all the time.
It's actually the only time that you can almost guarantee you will hear something is when you're walking down the street. Normally, as you know, you can listen whenever you want. Mm-hmm. But if you're heading down Main and 2nd, there is a very nice pots and pans kind of home store owned by a dear friend of mine, husband and wife team, Devin and Martha John. You can just tap the different ones and hear your favorites if, say, your phone fell in a toilet that day, or maybe if you can't afford one. The podcast should be for the people. That's why we pick up such great sponsors or podcasts like MeUndies Podcast or Trunk Club Podcast.
Sponsored by Bonobos. And again, you're silently nodding. I hope that you have the next Did You Know fact for us, Buck.
Did you know that you have been the topic of conversation at the local library?
Do you mean the collective you or Elliot specifically?
Elliot specifically.
Wow.
Curses.
Wow. And you seem to be very excited about this fact. Can you just quiet down just slightly? Our audio levels are kind of...
We're spiking here.
You get too excited. They like to do a monthly kind of expose on someone who is famous in town, and with the anticipation of you coming to town, Mary started doing research on you, and we actually already held your expose before you got here.
I'm flattered. I'm kind of happy that they didn't do anything on Vince, and it was focused on me.
I'm not flattered. I'm deeply embittered. Don't make that apologetic face that our listeners can't hear. That's not going to help you.
Vince, the beauty of Blumenthal is that you can go down the street, find one of our hourly podcast recording booths, and you can record a podcast that can expose yourself.
Yeah, Vince, if you want people to listen to you so badly, you can record a podcast.
I'm sort of at a loss. I am doing that. I'm doing it right now. We're doing it together.
I do want to just clarify that I do edit out your part of the show each week.
No, I know. I have to edit it back in before we publish it.
That's how it's getting in there. Okay. Is there going to be any sort of expose on Vince just to, like, throw him a bone here?
No.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on. I'm going to go ahead and pass. So, Elliot, you do another Did You Know.
Okay, did you know that because of all the podcasts in town, they all need sound effects and music, so there is a flood of musicians coming to town as well. Buck, can you tell us about this?
This has kind of become the hub for composers. John Williams, I'm sure you're familiar with. Great. The famous composer who's done works for Steven Spielberg, George Lucas. Ewell Bolt. He lives here in town. And actually, whenever he does his scores, he does them from his basement. And it's not a nice basement. It's a studio.
Dingy.
And he's basically taken over half of the laundry room.
He shares this space with another notable musician, Dweezil Zappa, yes. Who, of course, does his... live show Zappa Plays Zappa, playing his father's songs, but now he has a podcast called Zappa Plays Zappa Plays Zappa, where he plays audio of himself playing these covers.
Fun fact, there is also a podcast called Zappa Plays Zappa Plays Zappa Plays Zappa.
Is that hosted by Moon Unit?
It's Moon Unit.
Okay.
Occasionally Dweezil or Ahmed will show up. And the name gets confounding after that, but it is quite fun to hear the less talented children of Frank Zappa.
All wearing MeUndies. You wouldn't know it, but you can hear it.
Oh, you can feel the confidence in their voices when they find an underwear that fits them. MeUndies, sponsored by Trunk Club.
Vince, I beg of you, do you have a Did You Know fact for us? I know you're a little upset.
No, I don't. I'm going to kick it over again. I'm passing again. I'm going to pass to Buck. Buck, your question will be sponsored by Fruit of the Loom, just so you know.
Did you know that every April 1st, or April Fool's Day, as the rest of the world knows it, Blumenthal will actually hold a pie-eating contest with the winner getting to be mayor.
Wow. And I'm sure, Vince, you can agree, even though you have been punching me in the arm for the last 2 minutes, that everyone loves the sound of people eating on podcasts.
It's the most in-demand sound. It's the one question that we get even more so than you relentless barracudas who are always like, more hall monikers. You're misusing local legends, blah, blah, blah. It's always, we would love to hear you and Elliot eat things. Mm-hmm. The smacking of lips, the wet digestive noises, the occasional clearing of phlegm. These are sort of the holy grail of audio broadcasting.
Originally, my segment, Elliot's Eats, was literally me eating things, and then we decided to branch out into restaurant reviews and the like. But can you give us a taste of this, would you might say? You have a beverage with you. Can you maybe take a soft sip of it so listeners can hear that?
That's nice and wet.
As wet as the town's cheese, you might say. I didn't know that, but Vince, are you going to have a Digino fact for us, or do I have to fill in for the rest?
That would make 6 Digino facts, Elliot. We can't do that. They're already, I can feel someone, one of our listeners, trying to breach our assholes just for considering having a 6th Digino fact. So we better kick it over to the end of the segment.
When you don't do it, it kind of throws me off. I wish that there was a podcast that just refreshed numbers for me, but there apparently isn't. I think that we should kick it to the last segment, Vince. It's a segment we call Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, it's a continuation on last year's audio postcard from us to you, but we found someone we like more than you, the listener, and that's our great-great-grandfather. So we're writing a memory to the past, a vessel that transcends time and space, wishing that he could join us in this retrospective of the towns that he once loved so much. It goes a little something like this. Dear Rand, wish you were here in Blumenthal, Colorado.
The home of the very first broadcast radio program and your program, The Windings and Findings of the Great Rand McNally.
The home of shock jockism, probecasting, and beefus.
A town where there's always something interesting on the airwaves.
And hey, speaking of airwaves, if you want to record your own podcast, you probably need a website. Buck is silently nodding along with me. You probably want to use Squarespace. And Rand, I know that this is a letter to you. You've been dead for a long time and you probably couldn't use it, but I'm contractually obligated to put an ad for Squarespace into this letter.
Rand, if you're listening out there, use promo code IMRAND to get 50% off your first page of your first website and your first 15 minutes of hosting.
Rand, we miss you. And I'd like to thank all the viewers at home. Elliot and Vince here in the RV, and we're going to tell you thanks from these parts.
Farewell from these parts.
I like to thank people. Farewell makes it sound like you won't see them again, but thank you. That's just proper.
Perhaps we should defer to the expert on this one, Elliot, just this once.
I think so. Maybe we should all say in unison a thank you from these parts to yours.
Thank you.
From these parts
to yours.